for people who are ill. We started on this topic last week. We talked about the bracha that is made when one is going to undergo medical treatment. And it's really two parts. We saw in the Gemara in Brachos. First, Rav Acha said, somebody who is going to let blood, and we extrapolated from letting blood to medical treatments in general, but he said, one who is going to let blood says, may this treatment be, may this be a valid treatment for me and heal me. You are a Rofei Ne'eman, a faithful healer, an enduring healer. Your healing is true. And then Rav Acha said, after the treatment, then one should say, Baruch Rofei Chinam, blessed is the one who heals for free or at no cost. And we talked about what these terms mean. What does that mean, healing for free? We discussed more nuances of Abaye's objection. Abaye did not like one line within it. Rav Acha had included the statement, people don't heal, they just do these things. Ela shenoga, we don't actually heal, we just do these things that are healing-like. And Abaye said, no, you're not supposed to say that. And we gave three different explanations for what the issue here is. The first suggestion was that Abaye agrees with Rav Acha. Human beings really are not healers. However, that's not a smart thing to say. You're inviting problems for yourself by making a statement like that. That was one approach. Second approach was that, no, it's actually a philosophical disagreement. Abaye believes Rav Acha is wrong. Rav Acha is saying that you should acknowledge everything comes from God and we really should just daven. And Abaye says no, because the Torah understands we're not going to merit miraculous healing and we're going to need to rely on human endeavor. And then the third view, Rav Cook's view, was that the problem with saying it, Abaye's problem with saying it, is that it's really discouraging for the doctors. When the patient goes to the doctor and says, listen, I know you're not really doing anything, it's all God, you know, that will discourage the doctors and they'll discourage us in general from trying to make changes in our world, because you'll say, well, what's the point? It's, you know, it's just a charade. We also talked about the idea that given the emphasis on confidence in Hashem, as opposed to the part of it that is the patient davening to be healed, but given the focus on Emunah, doesn't it sound like maybe something the doctors should do also? You'd have to adjust the text a little bit, like the line that says, and heal me, doesn't make any sense. But that was an idea that we expressed. So we went through a little bit of the evolution of the body of this text. Is it Rofei Ne'eman? Is it Rofei Ne'eman? Rofei Rachaman? Rofei Chinam? We talked about whether the bracha after being healed is Baruch Rofei Chinam or Baruch Rofei Cholim. And where I wanted to go here, actually, no, and we also talked about the question of which kinds of treatments warrant this, and the Nishmas Avram sense that everything warrants it. A Band-Aid warrants it. Taking a pill warrants it. All of these things are fundamentally medical acts. He also talked about the nice idea of educating your children with this. If you do this with a kid, you know, they learn that you're trusting in Hashem and that all of this is fitting into our relationship with Hashem. So what I wanted to do today is finish off the topic with the very interesting question of the part that's to be said after you go through the procedure. Is it Baruch Rofei Chinam, or Baruch Rofei Cholim, or is it Baruch Ata Hashem, Rofei Chinam, or Rofei Cholim, or is it Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Rofei Chinam, Rofei Cholim? The Gemara's language was just Baruch Rofei Chinam, that's it. Blessed is the one who heals for nothing. It didn't say anything about Hashem's name. So we'll have to see what the issue is and whether in fact we are trying to say Hashem's name or not. Yes, Bobby? Chinam or Cholim, right? It goes back to last week. Chinam is that God heals for nothing, and the question is, does that mean that he doesn't charge? Does it mean that there are no bad side effects when God heals? If God wants to, he can make you better without all the side effects that come with medication. Versus Baruch Rofei Cholim, blessed is the one who heals the sick. We talked about it more in depth last week in terms of the different views. But in order to understand the question of whether to include Hashem's name or not, you need two prefaces. The first preface comes from Rav Yosef Karo in the Beis Yosef in source Aleph. He says, "Hanichnas lahakiz dam." someone who is going in to let blood, Omer, he says, dot, 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 he gives you the whole text, I didn't see any reason to reproduce it there. V'kasuv b'smag, he quotes the Sefer Mitzvos Gadol, saying, Baruch atah Hashem, Rofei Cholim. It's not just blessed is the one who heals the sick, it's blessed are you God who heals the sick. V'kakas of a Rambam, and he says that's the Rambam's edition as well. He has Hashem's name in it. Umashma, and then Rabbi Yosef Karo says, the implication of this is, Dehu Hadin Demazgir Malchus. You also mention Melech HaOlam. You say like a full bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Rofei Cholim. V'Rabbeinu Shalom Hizgir Loshem V'lo Malchus, but then you have to ask, says the Beis Yosef, the tour that the Beis Yosef is commenting on didn't do any of that. He just said Baruch Rofei Cholim. That was it. He didn't give you any of the of these added titles of God. Nirusha Samach Amash Shakasa Besimin Reish Yud Ches. Shevachola Brachos Tzarech Lahazkir Shemu Malchus. He says, you know why? The Torah didn't mention it, not because he thinks it's unnecessary, but because he made a comment elsewhere in writing about, it's in source base, the Birchos HaPeros, the Brachos that you make on produce. The Torah said, whenever you make a bracha, it always includes Hashem's name, and it always includes Melech HaOlam. So once he said that, he doesn't have to say every single time he mentions a bracha, Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, he takes it as written already. He already told you that this is what's there. If you take a look at the tour, you see it in source base. Haroa Makom Shenasu Bo Nisim Li Yisrael. If you see a place where miracles were performed for Jews, nationally, individually, that's its own discussion, then there's a bracha for that, there's a bracha for this, a bracha for that. V'chein b'chol ha-brachos tzarech lahazkir bohem shemu malchus. And so too, in every bracha, you have to say Hashem's name, and you have to say melech ha-olam. And he says, kach kasav ha-rambam zal, that was the Rambam's statement. La'fuke mitivri ha-raivad zal shakasav she'ein tzvicha shemu malchus, as opposed to the raivad who says, you do not need to mention Hashem's name, you do not need to mention that Hashem is melech ha-olam. So it's definitely not just by Nisim, because Nisim was what he just said, and then he says, v'chein b'chol ha-brachos. However, the question you're asking... the Ravid? No, the Ravid's comment is general.
General,
correct. And here's where I thought you were going. When you read that line in the tour, I don't know that he is saying, for every single experience, you always say Hashem's name, whenever you make a bracha. Yeah. That might just mean the brachos that he's describing in that context there, which are what are called birchos hare'ia, brachos on seeing things, right? Like the bracha that people make when they see cities of Jews that have been rebuilt, right? Or that have been destroyed and are then rebuilt. So there's a bracha to say. You see a rainbow, there's a bracha to say. The brachos like that, not every single time there's a bracha, that you can't necessarily extrapolate from there. And not only that, take a look at Source Gimel. Source Gimel is the Beis Yosef commenting on Source Beis. And there he says, U'mashikasav Rabbeinu v'chein b'chol ha-brachos tzarech lahazgir b'em shemu malchus. When the Tur said that in all brachos you have to mention Hashem's name and that Hashem is king, that means even in other brachos that you're making on things that you see, you're going to have to use Hashem's name. Lafuke may arrive it as opposed to the Raivit, Shesover Da'afagav de Bisha'ar Brachos Bu'in and Shemu Malchos. Even though, the Raivit says, even though when it comes to other brachos, we do have Hashem's name and we do say Melech HaOlam, like on eating food. But Birchos HaRe'iyah, when you're dealing with things you see, Kevan She'enon Ela Shevach V'Hoda Ba'alma, since it's just praise of God, or thanks to God, Ein Tzrichos Shemu Malchus. You do not need to say Hashem's name. It's not a formal bracha. It's not like a bracha on food, where there's an obligation, you want to eat something, you better first address God who provided it. That's not relevant here. It's just a reaction. So the Beis Yosef himself says, and this is the enigma, which Nishmas Avram will point out, the Beis Yosef himself in Source Gimel says, when the Torah says that all brachos require Shemu Malchus, he just means the brachos on seeing things. But in Source Aleph, we saw the Beis Yosef say that the reason why the Torah didn't say Hashem's name regarding the bracha on medical treatment is because he already told you, you always say Shemu Malchus. But you told me that comment wasn't about this. That comment was about brachos on things you see. So it's a little unclear as to why the Beis Yosef does that. Maybe. That's a possible argument, right? To say, well, in the event that you're telling me that brachos on things you see requires Hashem's name and saying Hashem is king, then certainly when you're making this request for a cure, maybe.
You have a chetzer in your hand and you're using a chetzer.
Yeah, could be. But this is one preface. The preface is that the Beis Yosef believes that you say Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam when you make this bracha, even though the Torah didn't say anything about it, and the Rambam said it. He quotes the Rambam who said it. That's piece number one. Piece number two is from the Sefer called Tashbeitz Katan. Tashbeitz Katan. Tashbeitz, when you see the Tashbeitz, that's Rabbi Shimon ben Tzemach Duran. But that's not who this is. Tashbeitz Katan was written by Rabbi Shimshon ben Tzadok, who was a student of the Maharam Rutenberg. Which means, whereas Tashbeitz is a Sephardi, Tashbeitz Katan is in Germany. So, two very different works. Notice, of course, that the Katan one is the Ashkenazi, but it's the way it is.
Katan is somebody who's even
Tosfos. Oh, but it's not. No. He's a student of the Maharam Rutenberg. We know he's going to be 14th century. 14th, maybe even 15th. So the Tashbeitz Katan, take a look, Dalid describes a question that he asked of the Maharam. He says, V'sha'alti l'maharam, lama tfilas haderech chosemes b'baruch, ho'ol ve'ena posachas b'baruch. Right, tfilas haderech, when you are traveling, yiratzo milfonecha, ezer, sh'tolichinu shalom, satzidinu shalom, satzidinu, right? That tfilah doesn't start with Baruch Atah Hashem, but it ends Baruch Atah Hashem Shomei Atfilah, which is a strange structure. He says, why is that? V'omar li, so the Maharam answered me. He told me, Shu masmich osa la'achas min habrachos haposchos b'baruch. He said, you know what? The truth of the matter is, you're not supposed to say Tfilas Haderech in a vacuum. You say Tfilas Haderech after having said a different bracha, which starts with Baruch. And I'll explain what that means. We have a concept called bracha hasmucha l'chaverta. A bracha hasmucha l'chaverta, it's not a concept, it's a category of brachos. It's very real. It's not a concept. If you think about, let's say, Shmona Esrei, right? So you start Shmona Esrei, your opening bracha starts Baruch Atah. How does your second bracha start in Shmona Esrei? After Magen Avraham, how does your second bracha start? Ata, close. Starts with an Ata. Baruch Hashem, Magen Avraham, Ata Gibor. Right, Ata Gibor. Beat you to it, Leah. The Ata Gibor is your start of your second bracha. It doesn't start with Baruch Ata. And then your third one is going to start with Ata Kadosh. And then Ata Chonein. You're not starting with Baruch at all for any of the remaining brachos. Exactly. As Bobby says, all of these brachos are linked. They're meant to be recited in sequence. And therefore, you only say Baruch Atah Hashem on the opening one, and that'll cover you for all of them. Similarly, Birkat HaMazon. Right? First one starts Baruch Atah Hashem. Your second one starts Nodeh. That's not... Your third one starts Rachem. The fourth one starts Baruch Atah, but that's because it's a separate enactment. Your first three were the Deoraisas, and then your fourth one created later. So that's the way this works. Tangentially, the bracha that people say in the morning, Elokai neshama shenasata b'taho rahi, so some argue that's another bracha that should start Baruch Atah Hashem, and it doesn't, and they say it's meant to be said after an existing bracha, after Asher Yatzar. So you say Asher Yatzar, that started Baruch Atah Hashem. You finish Rufecho Basar Mafli La'asos, and then you go into Elokai Neshama. So the Maharam Rutenberg says that's what Tefillas HaDerech is supposed to be also. Tefillas HaDerech is supposed to be said after a different bracha. The problem is you don't have another bracha to go with it. It's not like Shmona Esrei, where we have an enactment, or it's not like benching. It's not even like Elokai Neshama in the morning, where at least you have Asher Yatzar that you're also saying when you get out of the bathroom. washroom for the Canadians online. So the question is, what is this? What are you doing with this bracha? So that's why you will see some people who will specifically eat something before they say Tefillas HaDerech. They finish eating, they say the bracha achrona, and then they'll say Tefillas HaDerech. It's a little bit odd, because it's not like Tefillas HaDerech has any formal relationship with a bracha on eating food. It's not like Shmona Esrei, where they're enacted to be said that way. It's not even like Elokai Neshama Shnasatabi, which has sort of a thematic link with Asher Yatza. You're thanking Hashem for giving us life. Like, there's nothing to link my Borei Nefashos after a drink of water and my Tefillas HaDerech. Nonetheless, that's acting on the advice of the Maharam Rutenberg. Okay? So obviously, or not, maybe not obviously, the link between this issue and our discussion is that your tefillah here, when you go into lead blood, does not begin with Baruch Atah Hashem. It's Yehi Ratzon. So that's where this becomes relevant for us. So now that we have both prefaces, number one, the Beis Yosef arguing that you're supposed to say Hashem's name in Baruch Atah Hashem after your medical treatment, and number two, this discussion about how to understand the beginning of the bracha, we're ready to read the Nishmas Avram. So the Nishmas Avram, I gave you the reference on your sheet, is page 212 of the PDF. So here's what the Nishmas Avram has to say, just finding it within my own. Yeah. Baruch Rofei Cholem. So he says, V'tzarach lomar b'shem u'malchus. He says, you're supposed to say it with Hashem's name and Melech Ha'olam. Avo lo ra'isi noagin kein. But I haven't seen anybody do that. That's actually not his own statement. That's the Mishnah Berurah verbatim. The Mishnah Berurah says, you're supposed to do it, but no one does. V'kosev b'shar hatziyun. And then he gives you the Mishnah Berurah's comment in the Shaar HaTzion. Shaar HaTzion is also a set of comments by the Mishnah Berurah. It's presented as footnotes to the Mishnah Berurah and other commentaries to the Shulchan Aruch. He says, Hine b'Rambam u'smag nizkar Baruch Atah Hashem Rofei Cholim. He says, the Rambam and the Smag both said, you say Baruch Atah Hashem Rofei Cholim. Because of the Beis Yosef, Tehu Adin, Yomer Malchus. And the Beis Yosef said, you're also supposed to say Melech HaOlam. U'be'emes ein lo raya brura lezeh. The truth of the matter is, though, he says, there's no evidence to support the Beis Yosef's contention that you're supposed to be saying that. Delo is kiru aposkin bereish perak haroah kiim le'inyan birchas hare'ia d'shem bracha alein shematcheles baruch. The baruch, he says, halachic authorities only mention the need to say Elokeinu melech ha'olam when you're talking about a normal bracha like the ones on seeing things which begin Baruch Atah Hashem. Lo chein is that, not like this one. Lefiani is daiti, ki im bakasha be'alma. He says, in my humble opinion, this isn't a normal bracha. This is just a request you're making of God. Oh boy, I hope this thing works. I'm in a lot of pain. You know, that's what you're doing. It's not a formal bracha. V'hai baruch nimshach le'yehi ratzon shebikesh kodem hakaza. It's just, it's an extension of the yehi ratzon that you said. Yehi ratzons are not brachos. V'dumya the tefillas haderech. He says, you know what the point of comparison is? The wayfarer's prayer, tefillas haderech. Right? That's what it is. It's like that. So he says, shelo nimtza le'echem en haposkim sheyizbu shetzarech sheyachtam baruch atah Hashem melech ha'olam shomei ha'tefillah. No one says that you should end tefillas haderech with melech ha'olam. We didn't do that. Ella Baruch Atah Hashem Shomei HaTefillah. That's all you say. Baruch Atah Hashem Shomei HaTefillah. V'hatenach L'Aram Rotenberg. He says, it's fine if you believe as the Maharam Rotenberg does, which we just read about in the Tashbeis Katan. Shoyem Asmicha La'eze Bracha. That he would link it to another bracha. Aval L'Sha'ar Poskim Ma'ika L'Member. But what are you going to do if you paskin like everybody else under the sun? Like we do, right? We say, if a person is traveling and they don't have food, so they can't make a bracha before Tefillas HaDerech, they still say Tefillas HaDerech. We don't say, well, don't say it now. Al Karchach, you have to say, Mishum Sheikah Tefillah Be'alma. It's just a tefillah, it's just a request. I say just, like tefillahs don't matter. Of course they matter, but they don't need a Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. K'mo Shekasu HaTosus P'sachim Kuvdal Adam Ebeiz, He gives you another example of a tefillah where we say that in Tosfos. And then he says, "Ube'ezras Hashem," or perhaps Baruch Hashem. "Achar kach matzasi bekesef Mishnah." Then I found the Kesef Mishnah, who is also Rabbi Yosef Karo, who said in the beginning of Perek Yud of Hilchos Brachos, "Shakasa behedya." He wrote explicitly al hakaza regarding letting blood. "Shein bracha b'chasima," that you don't say a formal bracha at the end. "Umistama haynu mishum shein b'malchus," meaning you're not saying melech haolam. And the Sharat Ziyun said, "I don't understand why in the Beis Yosef he's saying you should say Elokeinu Melech Haolam, but in his own Kesef Mishnah where he commented on the Rambam, he said no. I don't know why he said differently in the Beis Yosef." Ad kan l'shona Sharat Ziyun. That's what he says. So I think he is still saying Baruch Ata Hashem, just not Elokeinu Melech Haolam. I think that's what he's commenting on. And then he quotes you the Eshel of Rambuchach. The Eshel of Rambuchach was a very, very important figure in the end of the 18th century into the 19th century. Buchach was the city that Shai Agnon came from. So Shai Agnon has a story that he tells about Buchach involving a major Lithuanian Talmud Chacham, classic Litvak Misnaged, who became close with the Hasidim. When the Hasidish Rebbe cured his son or his grandson, I don't remember the whole story. I might be mixing two stories together. But I do know he did become, he became very close with the Hasid, and he became a Hasid himself. And there were people in the city who gave him a very hard time about this. And Agnon tells a story without naming him, but it's a story about a Talmud Chacham who was a Lithuanian one, a Misnaged, and then he went over to the Hasidim, and how people bothered him, and so like it's what he's talking about. Yeah. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
The son of a famous became a Hasid.
You're thinking of was it Shmelko of Nicholsburg, maybe.
Right.
Yeah. But there were a few. So the Eshel Avram says the following: Lo yivarech v'peh. He says, "I don't think that you should make this bracha out loud. Don't recite the bracha out loud. Rak yaharher kol habracha b'shlemus. You should think the bracha in entirety. Kevin shnisrabu achshav hasvaros v'chilukim bein harofim hamumchem." He says, "We have a problem. Our expert doctors all disagree with each other about what you should do in a particular case." He says there are different practices in different places at different times, or based on the individual nature of each person. He says we don't have clarity to say this is a tried and tested cure, and that's what we're an expert with. Because for every expert you find 10 other experts who say something else. So you know what? Since you don't actually know if what you're getting is medical treatment in the first place, you're better off just thinking it. I feel like he's making the argument for why you really should say this, bro. But that's what he says. Vigam refuos pshutos habruros. He says even the simple, clear treatments could go in the shilshul. Okay, let's say someone has diarrhea issues. He says you don't have any clarity to know that this is going to work and that it's not going to take him too far in the opposite direction, and that this way he won't be ill anymore. So he says, no, I don't think you should be making this bracha. I think you should just think the bracha. And then he concludes with a separate point. He says, if a person is not ill, he's not ill, you don't recite this as a preventative thing, like, I hope I don't get sick. He says, when you say Asher Yatzar, right, you already say Hashem is the Rofei Kol Basar, you call Hashem the healer of all flesh, that's good enough. Stick with Asher Yatzar. That's what I meant when you referenced it last week and I said we were going to get to. So he says, yeah, Asher Yatzar is good enough.
So in this day and age, where we claim that you take out the gallbladder, you're really going to get better. Or you take out a kidney stone, you're really going to get better. If you treat someone for ALS, You're really not going to get better. But we'll give you the junk that's been prescribed because the FDA approved it. But
well it might give them some mitigating effects. I wouldn't be so
harsh. If you do a procedure that's absolutely, but the cannabis complication. In other words, you take out a gallbladder,
yes.
you may end up with peritonitis.
Right.
Because the forcep slipped or something like that, and the bile went into the peritoneum. But so you really want Hashem to be right for your cholera at this point, because it's a tried and true methodology for treatment, but it can go wrong.
Yeah, and I find the Eishel Avraham's comments really interesting. And I guess so did the Nishmas Avraham, and that's why he quoted them. But I don't know. The only thing I would say is that maybe that's why the Mishnah Berurah observed the phenomenon he did. The Mishnah Berurah says, well, you're supposed to say this bracha, and yet nobody does. So maybe people stop because of this point that the Eishel Avraham is making, that we don't really know what we're doing. It's funny, because actually it brings us full circle. Now we're back to Rabbi Yacha, saying, yeah, we don't know what we're doing, we just do these things. Now we're back to Rabbi Yacha after all. Abaye is not happy with us. I don't know, it's a very interesting one.
Nobody brings up case by case, life-threatening. I mean, could diarrhea be life-threatening or like a gallbladder?
Well, he went the opposite route. They went the opposite route. They said before what we saw last week, you should do it for everything. Do it for a Band-Aid.
Right.
Unfortunately, they saw the diarrhea was cholera. Cholera. That if you gave enough fluids, maybe they'll survive. Maybe they won't survive.
Right.
Also, the first 400 pages of brochures, the 2 points they bring up, which are solid, is that you got to have Hashem's name in it, either king or sovereign of the universe.
So that's the question: is does that apply here?
So if that's what it, that's the foundation stone.
Yeah.
That's what it takes. The 450 pages. That's what they came up with. Okay.
Well, a few other things you learned about Shadim.
And a little gremlins, right?
There were a few things that you got out of that.
Right. Okay. But so then you got to ask yourself, what's a blessing?
Mm-hmm.
Are you asking for help? Are you thanking for help? Or are you
correct
somewhere in the middle?
Correct. And that's part of this, and it's going to lead us right into what we're going to discuss next. So let's start.